Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Thursday, January the 15th, 2026, 13 and a half minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program here on WGH Talk Radio. And I think we might be having a guest join us here momentarily. So hold off on the phone calls here, and hopefully we will have our guest joining us here, and we can discuss some things going on around town. So if you're calling in, hold off on that because we've only got the one line, and we want to get our guest in if they're going to call in here at a quarter after, in about a minute. And then we'll get back to the phones. I don't think the interview is going to take the entire 45-minute period. Now remember, you can always stream us live anywhere, take us anywhere, WWGH1071.com, or download the free TuneIn app on any mobile device by searching WGH Talk, and you can listen on any smart device, cell phone. You can have your Alexa, Google Dot, help you listen to us. Help you. Like you're in a pair, I guess. But you can say, Alexa, listen to WGH Talk Radio, and we'll be right there. Hey, Google, listen to WGH Talk Radio, and we'll be right there. Siri also does that on your cell phone. I just learned that recently. All you have to do is turn on your Siri and say, Siri, play WGH Talk, and there will be right on your cell phone. You don't have to go through and type anything. Isn't it a nice technological world that we live in? No more worry about driving outside of the listening area. It's a whole new world when it comes to technology. Which I think is a very good thing. All right, so hopefully our guest will be joining us here momentarily, and we can continue some of these conversations that we've been having this morning, which I think are of great importance. But I'll tell you, I truly don't understand the things that are going on anymore. By the way, here's a message from one of our listeners out there this morning. If they get rid of Miranda, who they choose? Do they have a candidate to take her place? This person says that one of the city council members told them Monday night that nobody wants the job. So that's a question too, because if Miranda would be removed from that position, then somebody's got to take it. Somebody's got to be the auditor here in the city, and apparently a city council person has said that nobody wants the job. Well, there, I don't know why you'd want that job right now in the condition that the treatment that people are receiving, I truly don't know. You know, as I said yesterday, no one person can screw up things this badly. It really does take a collective effort. And I've just been around long enough now to have covered this entire mess. You know, I've been around so long, I was here when the city reconciled their books. That's how long I've been around. And it's been a long time since those books have been reconciled. But I just don't see this as being one person's fault. And I'm only saying that from a journalistic standpoint, that I have watched it play out over the years. And there have been different councils, there have been different auditors, there have been different mayors. There have been different treasurers. One person being blamed for all this, I don't know. But you know what? I also know it's frustrating and certainly understandable when you can't get your paycheck. So, that's a tough one too. I mean, we all want to be paid, I'm sure. So there's that. I don't know. It's an interesting position to be in. Now, what I will say is we've had a lot of talk this week. I'll tell you what's interesting. Earlier in the week, I brought up this 250th anniversary of the United States and this committee here in Marion and profiling people, who should be profiled, who should not be profiled, when they should be profiled, all that sort of thing. That has sparked more conversation. I have gotten more private messages, emails, conversations in public about that than any subject we've done in a long time. And I find that very interesting. People are interested in that subject. There's a lot of talk that has come up about who should be profiled and when they should be profiled, and I like having that conversation. You know, in a name that came up yesterday, we talked about the first batch being from Marion. What about Jack Kellogg? Jack Kellogg was born in Marion. Jack Kellogg is the longest-serving mayor in Marion history. Why not Jack Kellogg in the first group? You know, Mary Ellen Withrow was born in Marion. Jack Kellogg was born in Marion. Marilyn Meskey claimed Marion as her hometown and lived here a good portion of her life. And Norman Thomas was born in Marion. To me, those would be the four, the first four. Now, after that, you can do what you want. You know, if somebody made their career in Marion, that's fine. If somebody became nationally known who was born in Marion, that's fine. If so, you know, then you can get the Jim Thorpes and the, who else? The Dr. Smiths and the Charlie Evers. How did I forget that name? Then you can bring those people in. But I really think the first group, if those people are thinking down there, should have been Mary Ellen Withrow, Jack Kellogg, Norman Thomas, and Marilyn Meskey. You know, they were either born or claimed Marion as their hometown, and they all did great things for Marion. So you certainly would consider them Marion originals. Maybe our phone conversation is going to be delayed, so I guess maybe we will take a call here if you want to call in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a call, and we'll take the call, and I'll see where our phone conversation is at this particular point, our interview, and maybe we'll get to that here momentarily. But if you'd like to say something, feel free about the whole situation. You know, maybe it's my chair that's squeaking. I thought somebody was squeaking the door there for a second. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, loving my city. Oh, my God. My heart is ready to explode. I love Marion.
Absolutely.
What was this now? The budget director was supposed to help the auditor, right?
That's what it was sold as,
now,
yes.
Now, here's the way I see how they perceive help. Let's say the auditor is on a cruise ship. She falls overboard. And the budget director sees this, throws her a life preserver, but there are no more efforts to pluck her out of the ocean. She's left to her own devices. So in their minds, that's how they're helping her.
Well, apparently there's something about giving her the tools. Apparently there's some quote in the Star like that. I didn't quite get that one either.
Well, it was a statement that wasn't really finished. It just ended in an ellipsis.
Yeah, I mean, if you're giving a quote to the media, you don't even finish your sentence?
Well, I think it would be a fair assumption then. Her brain was not engaged before putting her mouth into gear.
I just don't get it. I don't understand why the mayor... Mayor, by the way, I know you listen. Send her down there today. Send your... I'm not telling you how to run the city. but send your budget director to that office today and leave her down there until these people's payroll problems are fixed. How hard is this?
You're a pundit for the citizens, and it would behoove him to show in good faith you guys are bending over backwards to help her.
It is embarrassing, whether people believe it or not, that the Columbus media, which goes most all over this state, gets a report that our auditor's doing badly, and then goes to the state auditor and says how many complaints have been filed against her, and the state auditor says zero.
Well, you know, this is compounded by the fact there are two damn many good people that don't get the recognition that are doing great things to make our community better, and we have these not ready for primetime politicians, quite frankly, shitting over all of the good.
There you go. Thanks for calling.
Do a better tomorrow.
Phone lines are open. Hopefully we'll get these interviews in, and hopefully they do happen. I think they would be a lot of help if we can make them happen, but I do know people have jobs as well and other engagements, and this was kind of the spur of the moment thing here this morning. So we're going to try to make these interviews happen, and we're going to try to make these things happen, but holy moly. Phone lines are open for the listening audience, because I'm not going to try to get an interview in here for at least another 6 minutes. So feel free to call in, 740-383-9944, that's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give me a buzz here, and we can discuss what's ever going on in your world, even as we speak. Remember when Willard Scott used to say that when he was doing the weather? Isn't he the one who used, isn't that his quote? Here's what's going on in your world, even as we speak, after he gave the weather report. I don't think Willard ever knew what he was doing when he was doing the weather report. I think he would have agreed to that. I don't think Willard knew anything about meteorology. They just threw him into that job. But he did good. You know, people liked him. He was there for a long time. Let's see here. Well, like I said, it's been fun having the conversation about the 250th anniversary of Marion. But as far as I'm concerned, as I said, my list, after talking to a lot of people, the first four, in my opinion, not that anybody's going to listen to me, should have been Mary Ellen Withrow, Jack Kellogg, Norman Thomas, and Marilyn Meskey. Because they were either all born in Marion, or claimed Marion as their hometown. I believe they were all born in Marion except Marilyn Meskey, but Marilyn claimed Marion as her hometown, and she lived here throughout most of her childhood. So you have a Miss America there in Marilyn Meskey. You have the Treasurer of the United States in Mary Ellen Withrow. You have former mayor, longest-serving mayor in Marion history with Jack Kellogg. And you have, I believe, the first socialist, or one of the first socialists, to run for president of the United States in Norman Thomas. So that's not a bad list. And you have all the political groups in there. Jack Kellogg's a Republican, Mary Ellen's a Democrat, and Norman Thomas was a socialist. So it would even be balanced politically. I don't know what political party Marilyn Meskey was, but I guess she was, beauty pageant party? Back then, they called them beauty pageants in her day when she won Miss America. And she was also, by the way, a two-time Miss Ohio, so no slouch. And also, Mary Ellen was the treasurer of the state, as well as the treasurer of Marion County, so she certainly has other accolades. Jack Kellogg was a city council person before he was mayor, and Norman Thomas, I believe, was a professor at several colleges. So they certainly do have other accolades as time goes along. I'll tell you, if you learn about Norman Thomas, he really is a name that gets forgotten as somebody who's been born in Marion, and he even has a historical marker downtown where his house used to be. And, you know, this guy, he faced some stuff in his life. I mean, people attacked him. He was called a lot of things. Ran presidential campaigns. I mean, he certainly was no backwater type of a person. Go ahead, caller.
What about Christy Cook? Do we still have the street sign, Christy Cook Way?
I don't know, but, you know, she's not bad, but I guess I see her and Marilyn Meskey in the same category, and the fact that Marilyn won, I would just put her ahead.
Yeah, but it just reminded me, I don't know if that it was on the corner of Main Street and Church Street. I think they called Christy Cook Way.
Well, apparently we took down a lot of signs. Mary Ellen signs that used to be at the entrances of Marion, home of Mary Ellen Withrow, the Christy
but
Cook signs.
We can put up Love Your City, Bill Collins, at every entrance into our fair community.
There you go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Christy Cook would certainly, again, we've got other weeks here, and I think this is where you put all the other people, Dr. Smith and Charlie and, you know, who's the other one I would bounce off that list? Oh, Jim Thorpe. Just people who weren't born in Marion. You know, I just think the first four should be people who were born in Marion. Now, again, maybe that's just my opinion. Well, it is just my opinion. But that's what I think. And maybe we'll be getting an interview here momentarily. Wouldn't that be good if we were able to make this happen? But again, as I said, busy schedules and things going on in people's life sometimes make those things difficult, but we're not at 9:30 yet. 9:29 and 46 seconds at this particular point. And I do want to thank again former Governor of Ohio, Ted Strickland, for being on yesterday. I thought that was a very interesting interview. You know, whether you like or dislike Governor Strickland, he certainly brings out emotion in people. And I think that's what you try to do with most interviews, is bring out emotion. You want people to feel strongly about what the person is saying. And Governor Strickland certainly does that every time he's on the program. And we certainly covered the waterfront with Governor Strickland yesterday. From the gubernatorial race to Mike DeWine's legacy to the shooting in Minneapolis to Les Wexner's subpoena, you know. And Governor Strickland, again, like him or not, he's got a lot of insight into those things, having been governor of Ohio. You know, he met with Les Wexner. He has obviously met with Amy Acton. He knows what it's like to be governor. He knows what it's like to run for governor. I think it's just an interesting perspective that only certain people around have right now here in Ohio. You know, how many living governors do we have right now? Celeste is still with us. Strickland is still with us. Taft. Kasich. And DeWine. So we have five at this particular point. So, you know, not a whole lot of people you can call to get that particular perspective on what's going on in the world. But here it goes. And you know what? I guess something else I want to say about this particular auditor situation is, you know, this is not political. As far as I'm concerned, when I'm coming on here saying what I'm saying it because I don't understand why things aren't together more. I don't understand why people cannot work together. Are people's personalities that difficult? Are they really? I mean, I honestly cannot imagine that people are this difficult. And I don't understand it. You know, when did we become, as a city, you're with me or you're against me? When did we adopt that attitude? When is it we can't work together? I'm going to call you names. Well, is this just the world we're in? You know, even if I don't like you, even if I don't think you're doing a good job, I'm not going to call you names, and I'm not going to get, I'm not going to work my blood pressure up to, I don't know, defame you in public. I'm not going to do that. You know, I don't understand that. I don't understand it. And again, if anybody can point to anything in this program that I have said this morning that is not a fact, please do it. I mean, I wish these things were not facts. I wish that we did better. I wish that we could deal with each other better. But I don't know. I don't know what that's going to take, and I don't know why it's so hard. Why it is so hard. I'll tell you what, you want to talk about this 250th anniversary list of people. The reason people on that list became successful was because cooperation and communication. And boy, we've got a breakdown in that right now. You know, people in those days were not running to the Columbus media to throw Marion under the bus. You know, the Columbus media is not a court. They're not a court system. They're not going to get anything done for you legally. Why don't you do that? Why don't you actually go somewhere to somebody who can help you in that way? I it's just beyond me. For some reason, as to why people operate in this way. Maybe they've been humiliated, and they feel that trying to humiliate somebody else is the only way. I don't know. If anybody has a thought, feel free to call in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give me a buzz. I'd love to hear from you this morning. And if we find out that we have an interview coming, we will try to slip that in here this morning. But as I've always said, it's always good to hear from the listening audience. And I kind of feel like this is the on-air soapbox where you can say what you want and say what you feel, and we go on down the road and hopefully spark interesting conversation. So here we are. 740-383-9944. 36 minutes past the hour on this Thursday morning. I should mention that Voice of the People with Linda Sims will follow this show today, 10:15 a.m. until 12 noon, and then Adam the Computer Guy, 1:15 until 12:15, excuse me, until 1 p.m. today. So Linda Sims, 10:15 a.m. till 12 noon, and then Adam the Computer Guy, 12:15 until 1 p.m., and I'm sure all of those programs will be fantastic programs, because they all are here on WGH Talk. Isn't that right? So here we are. And again, phone lines are, well, here we go. I think we've got somebody calling in. So let's see where we go with this. Go ahead, caller.
How's the peanut butter jelly truck doing? Did they get their $5,000 from the city?
You know, as far as I know, they did. I mean, I can't confirm it, but I think so.
I think they've got another vehicle making the rounds. I can't remember what kind it was, but it had the loudspeakers going on and went down my street.
Did you go out and get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Too cold.
Well, yeah. That is a problem this time of year.
I don't need peanut butter and jelly. I have to watch my figure.
You know, I never liked peanut butter, so that wouldn't be up my alley in any way.
Oh, man, you never... What don't you like about peanut butter?
I don't know. There's something about it. It's the taste. It's not, you know, I don't know. It's just...
Peanuts at all?
No, not really. And I'll say that, it doesn't, like, gag me. I mean, because if there's peanut butter in something, I can eat it. But it's never something I would go to. And people who eat peanut butter sandwiches is beyond me.
Yeah, just peanut butter itself. Now, for your good old Elvis one, peanut butter and bananas.
He loved his peanut butter and bananas, and we saw what happened to him.
You should try that.
Oh, I've had one of those.
Crunchy, even crunchy peanut butter and bananas. So yeah,
I've had the peanut butter banana sandwiches. They're not bad, but Elvis used to like them fried up in heavy-duty butter. And you know, that's not my... Butter's okay, but... You know, he really liked a clog your artery type of a sandwich.
Well, that's how he became the corpulent crooner.
There you go. Thank you. All right, again, the phone lines are open here this morning, 740-383-9944. And I know I have said this in the past, but if you are a city official, if you're in office, if you're a county official and you're listening to this program, obviously, I have nothing prearranged. Feel free to call in 740-383-9944 because we would be interested to hear from you. How do you feel about all this? And by the way, you might feel differently than I feel. You might feel differently than other callers feel. Maybe you think what's going on is the way it should happen. And, I guess that's it. Got me. I really don't know what more to say about it. Now I could get back into the 250th anniversary thing. That seems to be our topic du jour of the week. But I've had no bad issues at McDonald's in the morning, so I can't complain about that. I could go back and complain about the whole hospital parking thing. You know, I talked about that the other morning. You know what? Handicap parking, absolutely. You've got to have that. But I do not understand this electric car parking that we have, which is close to the doors at the hospital. I assume that has to be for the doctors, because I don't see a whole lot of electric cars driving around Marion. And I know this, I'll get heat for this, but clergy parking. Now, I, again, am not against clergy parking. I don't know why we have so many of them. You know, I've never seen them all filled. Never. I mean, I'm going to count the clergy parking spaces at the hospital. Maybe two? I mean, do we really have a lot of clergy running around that hospital all the time? I don't think we do, because those are the spots that are always open. So I don't think they're there all the time. So I don't know why, and I'm not sure why the clergy needs it. Maybe somebody from the clergy can tell me why they need their own parking space. I mean, far as I know, they're not in bad shape physically. They could park a little bit away from the door or drive around trying to find a parking space like the rest of us. And this all spurred, if you don't remember, maybe this will be a time killer till we hear from somebody. It's because Monday I was visiting somebody at the hospital, and I parked in a spot, and I am absolutely sure there was no sign in front of the spot, and there wasn't any sign when I came out, and there was a paper underneath my window when I came out. And here's what the paper said, full piece of paper. It says, cardiopulmonary rehab parking only. Please do not take up this space if you do not attend. Thank you. Rehab only. Last for 1 hour. So you weren't in rehab. And they wrote that on there, which I didn't appreciate that. And then there's a cartoon on this thing. It's like a comic, and it shows somebody on a table clutching their heart in surgery, and four doctors, I would guess, in the emergency room, or in the surgery room, with this person clutching their chest. Now, isn't that just what you want to see in a comic? I don't understand this, and I wasn't in the cardiopulmonary parking. And how do you know if I'm a cardiopulmonary or not? I mean, do they have some kind of license plate or hanging device in their window? I mean, maybe they do. I don't know. But no, like they have to write on here. You rehab only lasts for 1 hour, so you weren't in rehab. Or maybe they watch my car. Do they watch the cars? I don't. How do you watch all those cars and see how long they're there? It's not like they've got parking meters there. I don't know. I thought it was odd. And again, I got out of the car to make sure, is there a cardiopulmonary parking sign here that I'm missing? I don't know. Again, try to be a little more kind. Hey, don't do this. And also look, see if it's actually a cardiopulmonary spot. I mean, I can walk across the parking lot. If I needed to park further away, I can do it. So, you know, I don't need to take up a cardiopulmonary spot. I don't know what cartoon I would have gotten if I would have parked in the clergy spot or the electric car spot. I might park in the electric car spot if I'm ever there again. Because heaven knows nobody's ever in those spots. Electric car spots. Maybe they're hoping that down the road, more people will have electric cars in Marion. I can't figure that one out. Every time I've ever entered that parking lot, I honestly don't get that one at all. I honestly don't. It's beyond me that... Is there anywhere else in Marion, any other parking lot that has electric car parking, aside from the hospital? I can't think of any other parking lot in Marion that has electric car parking. You know, I'm just on a little bit of a tear here this morning. Well, I've torn into city politics. I've torn into that 250th anniversary celebration honor thing. And now I've been in on the hospital. So I feel like I've made my rounds here this morning on things that baffle me. But you know what? I'm a curious person. I want to know why. I want to know why city council acts like this. I want to know why the hospital's parking situation is like this. I want to know why this list for the 250th anniversary of the country was compiled the way it was. And you know what? I want to give a quiz to that group that chose these people. A short quiz. I want to ask them 10 questions, and they can't use their phones to answer them, about the people they're honoring. You know, I'm not even talking about outlandish questions. I just want to ask them some. I want to see what they know about these people. Because I don't think they know anything about these people. And that's sad. And I still don't understand. I keep being told they're going to be in the paper. I don't know. January is supposed to be the first month. Today is the 15th. There's four people to be in. I would guess they were going to do one a week. Well, I think we can't do that now because there's not enough weeks left in the month to get four people in once a week. Now maybe they'll run two a week. Who knows? I guess that's the way it goes. Go ahead, caller.
OSUM has electric chargers.
Oh, that's the... Okay, well, they have... Are they right up front so you can't park up close?
They're not too far away. They're fairly close. But, you know, only the big, big, deep-pocketed businesses do that. And maybe they got grants for it.
Well, the hospital's got deep pockets. We know that for sure.
Yep, absolutely. But OSUM has them. I don't know if Marion Tech. They might serve both Marion Tech and OSUM.
Oh, hey, so, there you go.
Electric.
Thank you. All right, phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you. Okay, and who knows? Maybe we'll get a surprise guest here before we run out of time. 47 minutes past the hour. Linda Sims coming up at 10:15 this morning. She'll be on through noon. And Adam the Computer Guy from 12:15 to 1 p.m. I guess you never know. And you know something that I still find to be a problem is, does anybody know why Miranda wasn't at the meeting on Monday, our city auditor? You know, does anybody know why? Has anybody found that answer yet? You know, I think this is an important point that somebody should find out. She doesn't miss very many meetings. We got the super flu going around. Maybe she was sick, for God's sake. Okay, go ahead, caller.
Okay, you just asked, does anybody know why Miranda wasn't there Monday?
Right.
We don't know why, but when I was going back and doing my little stealthful listening, Mark Russell is recorded, he is caught recorded saying, we found out that Miranda's not going to be here this evening. So they knew before that GD meeting that she wasn't even going to be there. They knew. You spurred that memory.
So why didn't he say why?
Maybe she didn't tell him. She's not obligated to, but they knew before they got up there and chewed her ass. Excuse me, because he said it before the special meeting started. They were live streaming about 5 minutes before the meeting was supposed to start, and then it didn't start. It was 15 minutes late. It didn't start until 5:45. So all the chatter and all the everything of everybody getting up back and forth, Mark Russell was picked up saying, Miranda's not going, we found out this afternoon that Miranda's not going to be here this evening.
Well, then clearly it sounds to me like she either had a conflict or was sick if she called in to tell him she wasn't coming.
It doesn't matter what the issue was. They knew she wasn't going to be there and they still behaved that way.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. If you have a conflict, I mean, I don't think she called in and just said, I don't want to come. So she had to have some kind of conflict. So
well, Russell said, we don't know why she's not here tonight. But
he did.
He knew she wasn't going to be there.
So well, I don't think
off,
she has
she
to give an answer.
Give a reason. No, she doesn't have to give a reason. But that's what I'm saying is they knew before that meeting started that she wasn't going to be there. And then they used it for 90 minutes or however long to beat up on her. Full well knowing that she wasn't even going to be there to defend herself.
Well, then she did her part. I mean, if she alerted him, then she did her part.
Yeah. So it wasn't a surprise that she didn't show up. They knew. And Russell said, we found out this afternoon that we found out that she's not going to be here.
Well.
And they continued to act that way. And the people, and I will say this, Viola Lang and Mark Russell and Collins got up and went out into the little area behind the judge's desk. They came back in. Viola went back out with Mark Russell. Then Ralph Smith got up and went out. They need to watch kind of doing their little conspiring right out in front of everybody because they're starting to violate some open meeting laws when they're having these little predetermined meetings before the meetings right in front of our eyes.
And we continue on.
And we continue on.
Thank
Take
you.
Take care, Scott.
All right. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. 51 minutes past the hour. Well, I mean, I guess if she called off, it's like any other job. I don't even know that she had to tell him that she wasn't coming. But apparently she did give them the courtesy to say that she wasn't going to be there. I mean, what if she was sick? It is cold and flu season. I don't know. I just... It's all strange. It's just, again, you couldn't make it up. You couldn't write it. And for whatever reason it keeps happening, I'm not really sure. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, if you want to talk about the hospital parking, or you want to talk about the situation going on in the city, or you want to talk about well-known people who've come and gone in the Marion area. We can talk about all those things. We got a wide area of conversation here this morning. We've got a wide topic list. So apparently electric parking also out at OSUM. Well, that's nice. I mean, I'm not against electric parking. I just don't know why it needs to be right next to the door. And I don't know why we need all these clergy spots. I mean, maybe two. I don't know, I guess is the answer. I don't understand. But now, handicap parking, of course. Of course you have to have that. There are people who can't walk as well or can't walk at all. And they've got to be closer to the door. But I don't understand all these other spots. And I think the reason is because they're always open. And I think, well, when do these people show up to do whatever they do? I don't know. Doesn't the hospital have a chaplain? I mean, I think they do. I think they always have. I mean, is this for, like, personal clergy that comes to the hospital? Because I would imagine the chaplain has his own parking spot. I don't know why, when they extended the hospital, they didn't try to buy some more land and extend the parking lot. That parking lot is really not big enough for the size of the hospital that we have. When you consider all the doctors and the nurses and the clergy and the patients, plus everything is there now. You know, the cancer center is there now. I think the rehabilitation center is there now for a lot of things. The emergency room is there. All the rooms are there. You know, everything's there. So, you know, that means you need a lot of parking. A lot of that stuff used to be located in different places. You gotta, if you have more services, you gotta have more parking. This doesn't take a genius. Does anybody remember clergy parking years ago? I'm sorry to harp on that one, but that's not even something I ever remember years ago. Is that a new thing? You know, electric car parking, of course, would be a new thing because electric cars are a new thing. Handicap parking has always been there. I don't know about clergy parking. I don't remember clergy parking 15 years ago. I don't know when that became a thing. Matter of fact, I don't know if I've ever been to another hospital and saw clergy parking. Of course, I don't visit other hospitals all that often, but you never know. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, they've always had clergy parking. My aunt worked at the hospital for 20 years.
As many spots as they...
and drop-offs.
As many?
No.
Ooh. Why do they have so many?
Remember where the flagpole was in the middle? I don't even know if it's still there anymore. I haven't been to the hospital in a while, thank God. If you went straight out, like you're walking towards GTE or the sheriff's station or whatever, there were two spots at the very end of one of those aisles, and they were like, they would have been front-facing, and they were at the end of an aisle. But you're sounding pretty insensitive here, Spears, because you're saying, doesn't the hospital have a chaplain? Not everybody's Christian anymore, buddy. Some people...
Oh, no! No, you're right. I thought that if you were a clergy visiting somebody who was not, if they did not want the chaplain, I thought you were on your own to find a parking spot.
No, there have always been spots. They were not right by the front. They were reserved, it said, for clergy only.
Why do the clergy have to park close?
When you're God's chosen, you get a...
Now, see, now you're going to get it. See, that sounded insensitive.
Oh, I already know I'm going to get it. Like, I'm going to... It doesn't matter what I say. I could be nice to somebody, and they'd be like, she's being nice to the wrong person. And then
I
already know I'm going to burn a hot brother. I'm just...
No, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just saying that, I mean, If you're a member of the clergy that happens to be handicapped, you're probably going to park in the handicapped parking. So why does the clergy need to be close to the door?
I don't know. Why do you need special treatment because you bought an electric vehicle?
Well, we know why that is. You work there.
Well, Whirlpool has another lot that has electric vehicle charging, but it is only for their salaried employees, so only the people that can afford electric vehicles.
Well, but then again, hey, why does it need to be close to the door? You can have it, but why does it need to be close?
That's what I mean. Why do they need a special treatment right next to the door? Now, typically, aren't they like your dirty liberal hippie people that should be young and healthy because they're vegans and they do nothing but hike mountains on the weekends?
See, I don't know. That's kind of a toss-up because they probably have money, so you would think they might be more toward the conservative side. So I don't know.
I thought we hated electric cars because we loved fossil fuels.
Well, I'll tell you what you have to do. When somebody gets out of one of those electric cars, you have to ask them if they're voting for Amy Acton or Ramaswamy. Then you'll know where they stand.
What's your political affiliation?
Yeah, where do you stand on these issues? And then we'll decide if you deserve this parking spot or not.
Exactly.
There you go. Thank you.
Bye, Scott.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, we're in the final minutes here. We're in the home stretch of the parking spot show here. I don't know that we've ever done a show on parking spots. I don't know that anybody's ever done a show on parking spots. Maybe it's been done. But I'll tell you, we started off with the auditor and we ended with parking spaces. Now that is a well-rounded show in my humble opinion here this morning. Thanks for participating. Again, Linda Sims comes up next. 10:15 until 11 a.m. Adam the Computer Guy today from 12:15 into 1 p.m. And who knows, maybe tomorrow we'll have some guests as the drama continues here in Marion. Oh, maybe we'll get one more call in before we wrap this up. 30 seconds to go. Go ahead.
30 seconds. In some instances, it may be more cost-effective to have a charging station closer to the building versus yards and yards of all of that wire into the ground.
That's a good point. Good point. Thanks.
Thank you.
That is a good point. Maybe that's what it is. Didn't want to lay the wire to have them park out back. All right. For this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Listening to The Talking Place. Just listen to former star of The Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's